We're continuing our series this morning from 1 Peter. And I'm sure that you all know that Peter's name means the rock. He was originally called Simon or Shimon, Simeon. But Jesus gave him the nickname the rock, or Kephas, Kephar, Petrus, whatever way you want to translate it. And it was clearly a metaphor that meant a lot to him. Because in our passage, he shows how Jesus is a rock in two different ways. First of all, he's the foundation stone of the Christian community. But secondly, he's also an impediment, a stumbling block to those who reject him. And we're going to think about this second aspect first. Peter quotes two Old Testament passages to explain the ways in which Jesus relates to those who don't believe his message. The first is from Psalm 118. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone or the cornerstone. This was always seen as a key verse prophesying about the nature of the Messiah, God's chosen king to come. And it shows the people of Israel, it shows God's Old Testament people, that this Messiah would not be somebody that humans would naturally want as a king. And we know that Jesus was indeed rejected by his compatriots because they wanted him to overthrow the Roman occupiers. They had a standard up here, and Jesus didn't meet that standard. And this is a warning to us in our day, I think, to accept Jesus on his own terms. Not to make the same mistake of having a set of standards up here and saying, right, Jesus, I want you to fulfill what I think you should be. Because in our consumer culture, it's very tempting to go down that road, isn't it? To set out with a list of requirements about what we want from religion and spirituality, and then test Jesus, as it were, to see if he lives up to them. Because I can tell you now, he won't, because like any relationship, we come to Jesus on his own terms, not with a list of what we want him to be. He promises more blessing than we can possibly imagine, but only if we receive him in his own words, as we just heard from the gospel, as a little child would. And he was holding a baby in his arms at the time, and seeing how the baby just receives things from its parents without saying, well, hold on, how is this beneficial to me? No, it just received it. And so Jesus was saying, this is how you should receive my message to you, as this little baby receives what its parent gives it. The next passage Peter quotes from the Old Testament is from Isaiah 8. He says in verse 8 of our reading that the Messiah would be a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. Jesus is like a great stone in the road, which says you can't continue safely until you've built your life on me. And many ignore this and try to continue along the road, but find that this rock impedes them and trips them up. And this isn't Jesus being spiteful. He's not like the nasty kid in the playground who trips people up from behind them just to get laughs. No. This happens because to reject Jesus is to reject the only way there is to live in the manner that God meant us to live. To try and continue in life, ignoring Jesus, is to keep falling over in that great journey of life. And I'd like to add something else at this point. I often hear people talk about faith in God, belief in God. That's a great thing. But Christianity is about faith in Jesus, not a generic faith in God per se. I think talking about faith in God is inoffensive because it can mean pretty much anything, can't it? But to talk about one's faith in Jesus Christ and him crucified is a lot harder, because deep down we sense that this is a stumbling block for people, a rock of offence, if you like. But for me, being a bit generic about our beliefs is like somebody talking about how much they love married life without ever actually mentioning their spouse or their name or their character, anything about them personally or specifically. And with someone like that, you might begin to wonder about the health or maybe even the reality of their relationship or of their spouse, if they're only ever talking about them in the most generic and non-specific terms. So for us, yes, it's a challenge, because Jesus can be a great stumbling block. But the call for us is to talk specifically about the name of Jesus Christ, who died for us. Because the second thing that Peter says about Jesus is that for true Christians, he is the foundation stone of life. He has this wonderful image that every Christian is a living stone in God's great temple, built on the foundation of Jesus. As the foundation of our lives, he shares with us many of the privileges which he enjoys as God's chosen king, And in that wonderful, oft-quoted verse 9 of our reading, Peter tells us what these privileges are. So by nature of being built on and united with Jesus, Christians are, first of all, a chosen people. The Messiah was God's chosen king. And we're, therefore, God's chosen people. Last week, we thought about how God chose us before the world was created. And a familiar thing that you often get in stories and films, this idea of the chosen one. Is he the chosen one? That's often the question, isn't it? But as Christians, we are all the chosen one, with all the special calling and purpose that that phrase suggests. Next, Christians are, says Peter, a royal priesthood. Priests are those who represent God to the people and represent the people to God and make sacrifices to him. So, in Jesus Christ, the church is able to fulfill this great prophecy for what God's people would be. We are to represent God to the world around us and then represent them before God in prayer. This is why, although I'm often called a priest, actually you are all priests. As Peter says, we no longer offer animal sacrifices, for Jesus was the ultimate and final sacrifice. But each Christian is to offer sacrifices to God in the form of praise and thanksgiving. Next, Christians are a holy nation. Holy, of course, means different, pure, set apart for God's special use. Jesus made such an impact when he was on this earth because he was so different. People said, we've never met anybody like this. So Christians should be distinguishable from others because of the purity of their lives and their devotion to God. And Peter says that Christians belong to God in order that they may declare the praises of him who called them out of darkness into his wonderful light. Peter doesn't just say that Christians are those who praise God, full stop. But he gives the content of what that praise should be. Christians, of course, can praise God for many things. But the chorus, the refrain, the central theme of their praise is always to be salvation. I once was lost, but now I'm found. My song is love unknown, my Saviour's love to me, love to the loveless shown, that they might lovely be. Oh, who am I that for my sake my Lord should take frail flesh and die? No generic notions of God here, but specific praise for the God who sacrificed himself for us on the cross. So, rather than carrying on, I've actually put some questions at the bottom of your reading sheets. And to spend the rest of our time now, if you would, I'd love you to read through them and in the quiet think to yourself how you would answer them. And then I'll end by praying for us.